right, let's get her going. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sisboom-Baugh. Welcome in to our Real Kipper and Bourne show, the shrinkage edition. We suffered shrinkage, guys.
Were you in the pool?
No. This isn't George Costanza. This is the Blue Jays.
Hey.
Take away an hour of our show.
They got a win today.
But at least
they win.
They left us with the national show. That's the good news.
Yeah. Yep.
So wherever you are watching, listening on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, we're glad you're aboard. And remember, if you don't catch us live, you can download us at any time.
Or watch us on YouTube.
Give us a comment there as well. And let's not forget that this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. All right. Before we spread it out, including that terrific series that we anticipate with the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers, just here in Toronto, it just seems like it's rather quiet on the Sheldon Keefe. To a lesser extent, Brendan Shanahan. We don't expect to hear much, I think, moving forward on Brendan Shanahan, but there's some people that think Sheldon Keefe's definitively done, and there's others saying not so fast. So,
who are the others?
Well, the others are a few people that are making suggestions that the Leafs are shopping for a coach. They're making calls, and if they don't get the call that they like, then maybe someone stays. Things.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, listen. It is quiet. It's surprisingly quiet. I thought Wednesday of this week, we would be awash in news. We would be neck deep in hirings and firings.
When Kipper, we sat down here, full transparency, the show planning that we did today, Kipper sat down, he's like, well, we should talk about the Leafs for a little. What do you want to say? There's literally nothing to say. There's been no news. There's nothing.
No, but there is.
But that is news.
But I'm picking your brains now.
Yes.
In terms of, were things so bad that you have to just make a change for the sake of making a change? Like, would you fire Sheldon Keefe without a replacement, or would you look for a replacement first and then let him go?
You guys know I think Sheldon's a good coach. I don't think it's easy to go out there and just find a better coach than Sheldon, but I recognize that something has to change. You cannot do nothing. So, you know.
So that's Sheldon then.
Well.
At a minimum, that's Sheldon's
could
job.
Could you be on the phone about players and saying, would you do this? Could you do this with some other teams and getting a sense that could you change up the core? Maybe. But I presume it's happening. I presume that a 1-for-21 power play in the postseason and 4 straight exits, you know, sooner than people would have liked, is probably a death sentence for a guy, whether it's the right call or not. I know they're looking for a change. He's probably the scapegoat.
Yeah. I just thought we would know by now.
I do think, and think is probably understating it, Shanahan's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, if there's something that you thought we would have heard about by now, it would definitely be the longest tenured president here who, you know, I think he would probably be gone if it was going to happen.
I think if there was just one owner, one family owner who could
Dave
just
own the
pull
team.
The
Dave Maple Leaf,
pull the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Then, but when you're talking about a Bell and Rogers situation here, it doesn't necessarily work that way when it comes to letting executives go.
No.
It's.
Buddy, try getting an ad approved to this network. You got to go through 13 levels of people. There's no way
Exactly. How are you going to get rid of that Brendan Shanahan's title and not have a replacement already to fill in?
It's not happening. Yeah.
So we're all in agreement there.
Mm. Right.
I mean, reluctant agreement, I would say. Like, I understand everything, yes. I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice, but I understand the thought process and I understand what you're saying.
I would say going into
a reluctant agreement.
How's that sound? Going into 24-25, the wattage on the bulb of the spotlight Shanahan is in has been turned up.
Yeah.
It's
those,
a bright light.
It's those new high beams.
It's
driving on the highway.
Floodlight, road repair, floodlight.
Yeah.
Never a boring moment
when
the Leafs get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like things are happening behind the scenes. We don't know publicly what those things are.
All right.
There will be news.
In about 25 minutes, we're going to be joined by Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada, Canucks hockey, of course, on Sportsnet, and help us tee up what should be, I think, a great series.
I hope so. I think it's going to be two. Has a lot of potential. You're going to send Connor McDavid? Vancouver fans are going to hate
me. I don't know.
I'm having a tough time getting there with Vancouver.
The bubble could burst tomorrow. Right? Tonight. Yeah. Tomorrow. Maybe never this year.
She loves me. She loves me now.
Jordan Binnington, once upon a time. Like, there are Cinderella stories in the past.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It can happen. And obviously Vancouver has had tons of time to game plan for the Oilers. They know who to shut down and how to go about it. They got tons of good players themselves and a very good decor. They'll do their best to slow the pace of the game down. That'll be a challenge.
All right. So we'll wait on Murph to get into the great details of that series. Yes. But last night we also saw some interesting storylines, including a double overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself watching it screaming, Mateau.
Yeah, that's a flashback.
Yeah, flashback. So
did you see the stat I put in there for you, Kipper?
I did not.
The Rangers begin a postseason 6-0 for the second time in franchise history.
Yeah.
Joining their Stanley Cup playoff run in 1994.
People talking 94.
Everybody's talking 94 from Rangers winning President's Trophies to the Knicks being hot. And, of course, in 94, we were running toe-to-toe with Game 7s of a NBA final.
Wow.
With the Knicks, who lost.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget on one of those off days.
OJ was on a Bronco
Anthony,
chase.
Oh. Anthony Mason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember Anthony Mason of the Knicks?
Yeah.
Came in on one of our playoff intermissions and ran around the room in between periods and high-fiving everybody. And we're all looking at each other going,
big moment, pal.
Can you get out, please?
That's crazy. He's like, hey, it's just hockey. And you guys are like, no, it's our life's work.
This is a big deal now.
Now, I go do that on the Knicks in their playoff final. I'm getting arrested. Okay, I'm not just not gonna make my rounds
Grady
around the
Dick
room.
Was running around the locker room.
Scram beat
round
it.
One. You'd be like, what?
I think Anthony Mason and Grady Dick.
I was trying to think of who's the best player left on the Raptors, and I was like, maybe it's the new guy.
I don't know.
Scotty Barnes, baby.
Good point.
But at least we didn't blame him for losing.
Yeah, that's good.
That was a good thing.
Yeah, you had
but
that going
there's
for you.
So many of these kind of, you know, OJ making news,
so
OJ making news.
You, when the, every time, I believe it was the Patriots who were like 17-0, and all the Dolphins guys of the perfect season were rooting against the Patriots. They didn't want another team to have a perfect season. Do you find yourself rooting against the Rangers so you're the last team to have won the cup with the Rangers? Do you want to be the...
Yes, for the first maybe 15 years.
And now you're ready.
And now it's so over,
yeah.
Right? Like, because, you know, it's a selfish thing, right? Like, they win the cup and they're going to forget about us.
Yeah, for sure.
But guess what? They kind of forgot about us already.
Yeah.
And it's not my generation. They'll never forget, but the kids are all looking at you like,
yeah.
Nah, I've forgotten you.
I think that happened with, you know, my dad's
so
Islanders
okay.
teams where you're like, you know, you want to be the team. But then eventually it's like when they have success, your names get brought up again and you're brought back into it. Oh, that reminds me of Mateau in that year. And
so Rangers go to the final. They think they're calling the alumni down there.
Yeah.
Then you're cheering hard for them.
I think just bringing us back to life for these comparisons is really cool for all of us in itself.
Yeah.
So... if there's a lucky charm for them, maybe that's a fun way to be a part of watching something right now. But still a long way to go, right, for all of them.
Yeah,
but it's looking good so far in terms of the balance that they have, the goaltending, Panarin.
Power play looks like a different sport.
Lafreniere putting the puck in the net.
The pace of these games, like Carolina plays fast as is, but the Rangers can kind of hang with that. So this game, you know, this series is feisty and mean and fast. It's a great series. I can't believe the Rangers ended up pulling it out. I just figured Carolina, they just keep coming. You know, waves and waves of Shesterkin was fantastic. And
first time coach, P. Peter Laviolette, Mike Keenan.
Is Keenan a first-time
coach? First-time coach really? For the Rangers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. First-time coach yeah. coming in. Wanted to get more experience in. I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for Gerard Gallant. I think he's a good coach. But yeah. right now it's looking like the right thing that they did in terms of Laviolette.
Do you remember our Laviolette interview last
yes,
year?
Yes, he was good.
It was one of my top five interviews on our show. He was really, really good.
He was really good.
He knows his stuff.
He was good. All right, let's go to a Kipper's Clipper of head coach Peter Laviolette on his goaltender, Shesterkin.
He was fantastic tonight. I mean, both goaltenders had to make big saves or the game would have went in a different direction. But he was, I thought he played a heck of a game. He made, and then you're in overtime too, and when your goaltender is making those saves in overtime, I mean, it's, when you do it in the second period, you got, you know, maybe half the game to fight back, but in overtime, those saves have to be made, and he was fantastic. And like I said, I thought we got better as the game went on. I thought he got better as the game went on too. And I think it's just natural to stick up for your goaltender. Guys are going to jump in there, and they know how important he is to this team, and they're going to defend him.
You know, I love that move by Vechnikov. That's old school hockey.
Greasy, get a piece.
But he's like, hey, this guy is really good, and he's a huge reason we may lose this series. Rattle his cage a little bit. And he didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to Kipper on fear, make it look like it was on purpose.
Don't do that.
You have to bring that up.
Because the guy
why, like, why? Are we, everything's going great right
We're
now.
Having a nice day.
Hey. It's a nice day out there.
Add a little spice.
A
anyways.
Smile on my face, and you bring that up.
But he jackknifed him to the ground, and I thought Louis DeBrus did a great job of being like, yeah, it's the playoffs, and you don't want to have a reaction. But he's like, but at some point, you got to do something. Yeah. And it was like a great, I thought DeBrus nailed it, and they all kind of jumped in on him. And I thought that kind of turned the temperature up on the game. And I don't know, both those teams could easily
Shesterkin
win.
Was mad.
Mad.
He like wanted to go fight him while the play was going on.
He was really mad. So,
and by wanted to go fight him, I mean like how goalies do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go over there so someone else does it.
And then Laviolette sent out Rempe, and Rempe went down to the other end and bumped into Freddie, and then he got pushed over. And I wasn't necessarily going into it expecting it to be this kind of series. You don't think of Carolina like that, really, but it's been a pretty gritty one through two games.
That Rempe, he brings it, turns the temperature up whatever game he's in.
He does.
He's a punk. He's
See, the one thing
punk.
you can't deny through all the eras that we've been through with the tough guys and whether or not they could play or not play was that when they're on the ice, you don't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You don't go for popcorn. No. Something could happen out here.
Even if
it's a train wreck, I'm watching it.
And it's going to be a train wreck. His percentage of dirty hits per minutes played is absurd. He's like, he puts Patrick Coletta to shame. It is a absolute war zone out there. The only hit that seemed Rempe-like, though, was Jacob Trouba trying to end the career. Was it Marty Natchez?
Yeah.
I mean, did you see that?
I did, of course, like everybody else. And like I'm listening on the radio coming in, and people are trying to guess if he hit him, how many games he would be suspended. I'm like, what a stupid conversation, first and foremost.
I'll have it. It was an absurd play.
It was not.
He had the L. I love Trouba, and I've defended
him. He didn't hit him, though.
He did it, but
the point's moot.
I mean, is attempted murder a crime?
But unless we have an outcome or result, you don't know.
You can't sit there and tell me 14 games or 12 games. And he's not there, and all of a sudden you're getting your bricks in for the boards. I don't think he was elbow.
It's just
like that.
It's just a miss.
It was a missed
2 minute penalty.
A missed
body check.
Potential 2 minute elbow penalty. That's all I'm giving you.
2 minutes for elbowing. That's it.
That's all
you
I'm giving you.
1 minute for potential elbow.
I don't know. I love Trouba.
Could have been. Should have been. Come on.
Okay. Although let's be honest. Nate just pulled the shoot there. Like he felt the ball come. No, I would have for sure. I'd have been under the ice. I mean, but yeah, that's a. So Trouba was all over him the next couple
of
shifts.
He had a bit of a parade to the penalty box, too, though. He's got to calm down a little bit.
I thought the Rangers were pretty wound up in general. They Fox swinging at Svechnikov after the trip was a pretty good. You know, talk about if that lands situations. He's missing a couple of hockey games if that one lands. So.
Yeah.
Just one note on the goaltending. Freddie kind of hung in there. He did. Anderson.
But he's always going to let in one bad one.
Seems to be he's always on the short end of a bad one. But, I mean, I thought he was going to pull it off. I thought there was going to be this moment where Freddie gets over a bit of a hump. That game, I think, would have been really important for Anderson's.
To be like a hung in there.
Just all those disappointments in the past, either with Carolina being injured or with the Leafs. Early in Anaheim, he had a little success to start his career. But last night, if they would have found a way to win, would have changed, I think, a lot. For the way maybe we look at Frederick Anderson or the way he looks at himself.
I mean, it still goes through his legs, right?
He didn't get
like
it done.
And, like, the overtime winner is it's a power play goal, whatever, on maybe one of the worst penalty calls I've seen all playoffs.
Let's talk about that.
But, I mean, he's got a—I mean, you want your goalie to find that one. He's scrambling around, he loses it, and he bangs it through his legs. But
I would have gone ballistic if I was Rod Brind'Amour.
So I went and listened to his postgame because I was going to grab a clip. He didn't even get asked about it. He didn't even comment on it.
They need a Luke Fox in Carolina badly.
Because no one even inquired. I mean, to me, that's the first question. It cost them the game.
It's a gentle hip push defending in double OT.
I mean, go ahead.
If
first 5 minutes of a hockey game, maybe. But at that point, away from the net like that,
what a crazy call.
That's a penalty.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be a penalty at that point. You're pulling a guy down on a breakaway or chopping him across the wrist or something. But that's a terrible. That's an unfortunate break for Carolina.
There's a couple penalties they called in the first overtime that weren't necessarily great either. But that one to me is egregious.
You got to keep calling the game the same. Like, can't put the whistles away. You can put the whistles away.
And it's not like Rod's going to avoid that question. It's just delayed, you know.
Yeah, that's still coming. But you wanted to get him while he was hot.
Practice off days. Yeah. I think it was a smart move that if nobody is bringing it up, then don't answer it in the heat of the emotion of it, because you can only get yourself in trouble.
And make the refs
he has on a number of occasions. That organization's been hit hard in the past against the league and officials. We're talking about $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 fines. Mm. They've been hit before.
Really?
Doesn't sound like the owner would like that. $50,000 fine might come out of your paycheck.
Especially when they're arguing still over 25 grand on his contract.
That would end that argument, wouldn't it? So, do you want to move to the other series? Or do you have anything else on that? Let's mention Trocheck, who draws the penalty, scores the OT winner. Pretty awesome yelling at the fans in Madison Square Garden.
It would look like a painting. Like all the people just kind of around him, and you just see his face, like with the big smile.
Renaissance painting.
Underrated guy.
It didn't start out great when he got there either, because
from Carolina, right?
There was a sense too that they made the decision to let go of Ryan Strome. Ryan Strome was playing some good hockey for the New York Rangers.
Yeah,
but they just felt like they needed to upgrade a little bit on that.
They get greasier.
He was a free agent, too, and they weren't sure about spending
5 a year to go to Anaheim or something? Yeah.
So they weren't sure if they wanted to spend that much money on him, so they found a way to bring Trocheck in. And, you know, Strome had a good thing going with Panarin, too. They were good. Mm-hmm. But now you watch Trocheck and Panarin, and you're like, wow, this is
turns out Panarin might hockey. Just be very good.
Very good, and plays this time of year.
Yeah. You know, Chris Kreider is such a force, right? With that speed and size, like he's a good playoff type of player. Reminds me of another guy who scored a big goal yesterday for the Colorado Avalanche, Miles Wood, who is 6'4" and skates as fast as anyone in the league.
That was a great game. Those two teams, and I don't know.
That one's going to be hard to maybe get over. For Dallas.
I think
that one's like
they had a bag at home.
10 days from now, they're going to go, okay, we were at home and we blew a 3-0 lead.
Yeah.
Was that like the Boston Bruins coming off of a game 7 with adrenaline? And unlike the Bruins, who could finish it off for 60 minutes, they hit a wall.
It's same thing where they came out playing.
Funny you mentioned that. Pete DeBoer addressed that very thing. We have a clip on that. Clip 1 from DeBoer.
we're starting this again, right? And I think tonight was a, you know, it's a tough turnaround for us as a group. I thought we had a great start. I thought we the fatigue from the game seven, I thought hit us in the second half of that game. I thought our group rallied though and really made a push in overtime. You know, had some opportunities in overtime, but you know, I think at the end of the night, when you look at the score sheet, you know, their big guys all kind of delivered and are all over the score sheet, and I thought a couple of our guys were, but you know, we need to find some, you know, some of our scoring has to step up. You know, we've been waiting for, you know, a series plus a game now for some of that.
Ooh, buddy, that's a spicy one. Meatball.
Game one.
But seriously, if that was here in Toronto, that would be a huge thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's been waiting for a series plus a game for his stars to deliver. I think it's a tough spot when your stars are older or young, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
The kids, you get to give them the benefit of the doubt. You can't ask them to do it. And the old guys are old. Simmons is old. Can't go home because he hates his wife. No, but that's the thing with like the way Dallas is built is the deeper they go, it's going to be harder for those top guys to pull their weight.
So I guess he would probably be looking at Jason Robertson when he's talking about that.
Yep.
He had one goal in the Vegas series, I guess.
After that, I mean, hints?
Hints?
Yo, hints for sure. Duchesne, no?
Not reputable Ben, not guy Sagan, this time
Pavelski.
Of year. They're just too old to really... Sagan's...
He got asked about Pavelski and being like, are you worried about how... how quick it is for him. And he's like, there's a lot of guys we got to worry about, basically.
Yeah. So. Skipped over it.
And I'll tell you who else he's talking to. And this is going to be the difference between them making it or not making it and making me look good or not look good is Ottinger.
Oh, yeah.
Ottinger, I'm sorry. Overtime goal? Miles Wood coming in.
He's defending this post. He's out of the net.
You're Samsonov on the Leaf overtime goal. You're just sleeping in your crease, yeah. And you have no range. What is he, 6'5", 6'4"?
Yeah.
He looked like he was 5'2" in the net.
And
no, he didn't spread his legs.
No.
There's not a chance that Miles Wood should walk around Jake Ottinger on his backhand,
same thing.
From post to post, that easy.
Around him should never happen like that. Just to skate it around the goalie. I thought Ottinger was way off his net on that one.
He's not even 6'5", Jake Ottinger. He's 6'6".
He's flying.
Yeah, like it's a great
execution
by Wood.
Come out aggressive.
He doesn't fake a shot. He just pulls it across the net.
Come out. Make him go through you. Make him go eat your stick. Get your block. Get your hands out there. Get your legs out there.
Yeah, the Brazil one is better
left,
to me.
His left leg was
because he elevated it.
He elevated it, and Bobrovsky's at least out. Like on this one, like Ottinger's pretty deep in the net, but still, I mean, great finish by Miles Wood.
Yeah, great finish for sure. But
why don't we listen
to Miles Wood,
Bednar, the Colorado Avalanche coach, talk about the OT winner.
We got caught out there tired multiple times in overtime, and guys just looking to get rid of the puck. Like we lack some poise coming out of our zone when tired, right? And they kept quick up in it, and we had some stretches like that in the second period, and we're hoping to try and do it again in the overtime, and they kind of did it to us. So we were scrambling around a little bit in D zone coverage, defending hard, but good poise. Like that was a fresher line that was out there. It was good poise. Cogliano goes in and helps make the defensive play to get the puck back, and instead of just turning and firing it or giving it back to him in the neutral zone, he gets his eyes up, and Wood was fresh and went slashing through their D, and Cogs made a nice play to get it to him. And I mean, when Woody gets going like that, he's hard to stop. He's fast and he's powerful, and he just took it to the house. You know, great skill play.
Well, at least they have down 2-0 to Vegas to fall back on. You know?
Yeah, they've done this
bad
before.
Starts to series.
Yeah.
I mean, Cogliano's had an unbelievable career.
It feels to me like this is the fifth straight year. Is it over yet?
Games do you think he's played in regular season first?
Oh, I don't know.
I want to say it's under 1,000.
It's not.
It's not,
well over 1,000.
It is, 1,150?
No, it's 1,294 games, boys. He's played.
He's almost 1,300.
Wow. He's played 126 playoff games.
Yeah.
So he won the cup with them 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Would he have been on that Anaheim team that won the cup?
No.
What am I thinking of? It's his only cup then.
Yeah, but he went deep with the Stars. He went deep with the Stars too. Like, he's just had an awesome career. Yeah. Underrated guy. Played for a lot of teams.
When did he first start?
He started in 07-08.
Okay.
The Oilers.
What was Anaheim's cup?
They're actually 03 or something.
Way long ago.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah, it's kidding.
Never mind.
I was thinking of his years.
Concussions.
Yeah.
Well, I got no excuse.
But he's already got 4 points in 6 games for the Avs. All assists or whatever, but yeah, he's been.
He can skate.
Fly.
And
that's
he can skate.
Smart and can skate.
And he's not one of those guys that skates really fast to the wrong spot either. Yeah. He's got high IQ.
He does. So Colorado gets the goaltending they need out of Georgiev. You know, he makes a save on Sagan in overtime. A last clip here before we move on from this. Bednar clip 2 on Georgiev.
You know, we didn't give up a lot of scoring chances in the second and third, but we gave up a couple A chances that I looked at. We, you know, off the rush late in the period, third period, I think it was, they get a really good chance with Hintz coming through there. Like, we made some mistakes, but he stayed with the puck, and he looked really athletic on a couple of the saves that may have taken some funny bounces or plays they made side to side down low in the zone. And they're huge. Every save you can make that's a A or B chance, like a good quality chance, it's well executed by Dallas. I mean, you got to take it, you know, and maybe a little bad luck from him on the first few goals. First one, he didn't see it. You know, I've kind of gone through those, but he certainly stepped up as the game went on, and we've seen that from him here in these playoffs.
Wow, when you consider the start that he had.
I was just looking at his save percentages for the 6 games they've played. He started in the first one, 696, not great. 933, 917, 963, 944, and then 864 last night.
Wow.
So he like cleaned it right up immediately. So give him credit. Georgie the Fifth, like our boy.
Georgie the Fifth.
Like our boy Rob Brown says. Yep. All right, do you want to do game time quickly before we go to break? Or
let's
do you want to do it after?
No, let's do it.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So there's 2 games on the ice tonight, and big one for the Florida Panthers, who fell down and 1-0 in the series. They, as you might imagine, are heavy favorites tonight over the Boston Bruins, -170 on the money line, +145 for the Boston Bruins.
What's the puck line on that?
It is +155, -1.5 for the Florida Panthers, if you think they're going to really come out flying. Also think that this could be a tighter game. You know, 2 good defensive teams in a must-win game. Wouldn't mind the under at -120, under 5.5. And then we're going to talk to Murph about the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. The Vancouver Canucks and at home ice, +115 underdogs. The Edmonton Oilers, -135 going into Vancouver. Can imagine that's going to be a raucous barn.
Oh, boy.
I can imagine.
The fans going back and forth on the interwebs?
I saw some of the worst music. I
couldn't even watch it. I had the video sent to me 7 times, and I just like, can't.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. No. It's, but people are making music.
Homemade Go Team Go music video. Is it a rap, probably?
No, there's one that's like a La Bamba one.
Oh.
That's like really tough.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Sam, if the Leafs were in the second round, you'd be working on some few.
Sam's got a little Bumba.
Yeah, you
buddy. There is no less musical person in the world than me.
Hey, pal, don't count me out.
No. And all my like core buddies from Owen Sound are sick musicians,
really?
I'm just super jealous of it, and I just never had a musical bone in my body. I would not make a song.
If they were like, sing a song or get fired, I'd be working on my resume on this show.
I could sing a song.
Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket?
No. Give me a couple Bud Light Limes and I'll sing you a tune. Anyways,
Visit the
app. It's game time. Reserved by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Don't know why I said Bud Light Limes. Never had one in my life.
Attaboy, Sammy.
Good choice.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to bring in Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada, Canucks Hockey on Sportsnet. He'll get us ready for the big series between the Canucks and the Oilers starting tonight, game 1. We'll get the vibe out of Vancouver when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and Sammy McKee. Real Kipper and Bourne show. Can we wait on Dan Murphy?
You don't have to wait anymore.
Oh, he's there. He got through the crowd. The crowds.
Is it going to be like Scott Oak in Winnipeg crowd surfing?
You know, when Winnipeg went deep, Scott Oak became like a true celebrity, right?
Yeah.
My people, all of that. Dan Murphy's going to go through the same thing. You watch.
You don't think Dan Murphy's already a huge celebrity?
No, I'm talking next level stuff.
Oh, okay.
Next level stuff, like Bublé stuff.
Whew.
Right? Right. Bublé, bubbly. Murph will have a product out soon.
I'm sure he does.
In the meantime, he just comes on with the biggest hat he can find. Murph, what's going on?
Ooh, Marine Drive, though.
I'm good, boys. How are you? Yeah, when people see me, they're like, oh, look, it's John Shorthouse.
Nice stuff. Oh, my gosh. What's going on out there? Clearly, you know, you're not ready just yet with your big hat and your white T-shirt on our Zoom channel here. But, like, prep's coming soon for you. What's the feeling out there as the Canucks got through the Predators and now face the almighty Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, well, we were at the rink this morning, you know, I saw Gene there and Amber and Rudy and CC and Simpson. They were all there getting set for tonight's game. You know, I think the mood is still of excitement for the fan base, right? Because you just remember, like, a year ago they were, you know, watching the draft lottery, you know, for the 10th year in a row, basically. And, you know, just the unexpected season they've had, the fact that they were able to kind of pay it off with a first-round series win against Nashville. And, like, if 1 year ago you would have said, okay, you'll be moving on to the second-round playoffs thanks to a shutout by Artur Shelovs and a late goal by Pew Suter, people would have thought you were mad. So I think people are excited. They're happy. Of course they want more, but they understand, you know, that the Canucks are prohibitive underdogs in this series. That's not to say they don't have a fighter's chance, but I think the fans have really enjoyed this season and especially that first round of the playoffs.
Kind of a two-parter. Is it all gravy going forward now? And also, how do you handicap their odds in this series? Do you know, you call it a fighter's chance. What has to go right?
Well, I think you can say now it's been a successful season. I would say that. I would characterize it as that. I don't think that Rick Tocchet or, you know, JT Miller or some of those players feel it's all gravy now. I think they want to continue to win. And to beat Edmonton, I mean, so the other day, two guys that had participated in a Battle of Alberta playoff edition was Zadorov and Lindholm. And they were asked one question, you know, separate from each other. What's the one thing you can't do? And Zadorov said, turn pucks over. And then Lindholm a little while later said, take penalties. And I think that sums it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this Edmonton offense, the transition, the speed, that's just like food for them, any turnovers. And the power play is, you know, it is next level. It's got a million options. It starts with the guy that usually has the puck on the left half wall, McDavid, and he can go back to the point to Bouchard. He can go into the net front to Hyman, cross seam pass. We always see a lot over there to Draisaitl, and then you still got Nuge who can, you know, facilitate plays himself. So it's just a real problem. I mean, I think for the Canucks, if they don't draw any power plays, they'd be happy as that meant that the whistles were kind of away and the Edmonton Oilers weren't getting power plays either, because that is obviously just a massive difference maker.
Is there any thought that confidence has grown enough that they can legitimately find a way to shut this power play down or at least slow it down?
Yeah, I don't know about the power play. I think that they, you know, Vancouver's penalty kill during the regular season was middle of the pack. I think it was 17th, something like that. In the first round, it was excellent. Now, people are going to say that's Nashville, not Edmonton, which is absolutely correct. But after the All-Star break, the Predators had the second best power play in the league, and they were the second highest scoring team in the league. The difference being is that Nashville had a good power play that got super hot. Edmonton has got a the best power play that went, you know, next level in that first round. So the ceiling is so much higher and the floor, you know, is about where Nashville's was when they were hot. I don't know. I think they'll take confidence from the penalty kill and the way it played. But we've seen this thing at full force before, and it's a tough one to stop. I do think that they believe that they can defend against the Oilers better than the Kings did. This team, basically, the second half of the season was all about defending more so than it was about scoring. But it's still a big, tall task in front of them.
So Pettersson missed practice yesterday due to illness, is my understanding. Yeah. Sounds like he's going to be in. What are your expectations for Pettersson in round two?
Well, I mean, the last series ended on a high note for him. And the fact that he won that puck battle with Lauzon, got it to Besser, got it to Suter, and that was the game-winning goal. You can tell he's a little tired of talking about the lack of production, but, I mean, this is going on to with a couple of weeks left in the regular season. He was struggling. I do think it's a confidence issue. You know, maybe he's a little banged up like most people at this time of year. He has a chance here, though, to be a difference maker, because you have to believe that Tocchet is going to utilize Miller versus McDavid, Lindholm likely versus Draisaitl, and that gives Pettersson one of the other two lines, whether it be McLeod or I don't know who's going to the center he'll go up against. So he has a chance to create a mismatch with his line mates Mikheyev and Hoglander. And so perhaps he can take advantage of that on home ice here in the first two games. You know, the fact that he's in a bit of a valley here, I don't think it should be surprising for people that follow the team. He's always kind of had these, you know, pretty high sustained, great play, and then he'll fall into a little valley for a while. And, that you know, just kind of goes away for a bit, and then he climbs back out of it. The fact that it's happening now is a bit of a concern. I'd like to see his body language a little bit better. I'd like to see him get back, you know, into the fight a little bit, so to speak. Because we do remember, which was a different time, but the bubble playoffs, I mean, the way he, you know, tracked pucks and ripped pucks off players and was just really, really good both ends of the ice. I think the team would like to see a little bit more of that. He's overthinking. There's no doubt.
So let me ask you about this climb with the goaltender Shelovs and a mid round pick in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, to where he is today. And just how much fun has it been, first of all, of covering him? And I do mean this in some sort of compliment type of way, but is he just dumb enough to realize or not realize what's going on here? Is that like the perfect kind of place to be?
Yeah, you know when you said, like, is it just gravy? I think it's just gravy for someone like Artur Shelov at this point. I didn't talk to him a lot. He played five games last season for the Canucks. And then played four this season. So he talked to him a little bit. I do think what kind of set him up, I love his attitude. When he took over for Casey DeSmith and DeSmith was hurt, he goes, I guess it's my time to shine. So right away, he wasn't backing away from the moment. But I think what really set him up was the World Championships in Latvia last May, playing at home. He was the MVP. He beat Casey DeSmith in the bronze medal game, if that's ironic enough for you. And he said that was a lot of pressure, being at home. And so I think that then when he went into Nashville, he said, yes, it's pressure, but, you know, it's not home fan pressure. You're trying to shut people up. You know, you're not doing it for your country. You're doing it for your teammates. And I think that moment prepared him for this, because he looked much better in the playoffs. I know his record was, I think, 3-0-1 this season, but he had some shaky moments in the last couple of starts, looked nervous. And I don't think he looked nervous at all so far in these playoffs.
The Edmonton Oilers are kind of a unique animal, right? I think the best record since Knobloch took over, and just the amount of offense on that hockey club. Is there any thoughts about beyond those McDavid and Draisaitl about how the Canucks match up? Is it simply that the Canucks need to take care of those two guys and they match up all right everywhere else?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, can you take care of those two guys?
Right.
Or if you're minus one or minus two a night, can the rest of the guys, you know, pull the weight? You know, I think there is some simplicity to that argument, Justin, but I think we know that, you know, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to get theirs.
Yeah.
I don't think that JT Miller's line wants to simply defend. I think they do want to attack. I think they do want to try to make, you know, the top players in Edmonton defend, and they've been pretty good at that. I will say this, like, everybody's throwing away the regular season sweep, and for good reason. It means squadouche right now. But the Canucks can take some confidence out of it, because at different pressure points, the beginning of the season, there was a ton of pressure on them to get a good start after last season. They lost their first seven games. So to go, out of the gate with that 8-1 win, I think was big for the Canucks to say, okay, we can do it. Maybe we caught the Oilers sleeping, probably. And then game 80, they went into Edmonton, no McDavid, mind you, but the Canucks didn't have Demko, and they played a really good game and won 3-1. It's basically 2-1 with an empty netter. So I think they will, even though the regular season means nothing, I think they can look at those two games as points in the season where, okay, we've got it done versus this team, kind of when it mattered, and I think they'll draw off that. I think their main focus for defending is keep everything to the outside as much as possible. You know, that's the biggest thing. And they protect the middle of the ice very well. They've got, you know, some big guys back there in Myers and Zadorov, and Cole plays bigger than 6'2". You know, so they have some big lads back there to defend. And I think they'll do their best to keep those guys to the outside, which is easier said than done.
We're talking to Dan Murphy, where we'll enjoy his work as early as tonight on Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet as the Vancouver Canucks take on the Edmonton Oilers. So we've got the Canucks with home ice advantage, meaning they start at Rogers Arena, and not to put so much emphasis on this first game. But, Murph, how important is it that Vancouver looks the part in game one at home? Like, what would a bad start do to the psyche of starting at home, or being the team that had five more points than the Oilers in the standings? Like, how important is tonight?
I think, I'll put it this way. I think if the Canucks get, you know, beaten 5-1 or something tonight, I don't think that's going to affect the players on the Canucks. I think it's going to affect the players and the Oilers to say, okay, you know, this is, we are who everybody says we are, and this is going to be easy, right? I think that's going to be one thing. The Canucks have been relatively resilient this season. I don't think that one bad loss would cause them to, you know, collapse, depending, I guess, how the goaltending goes. So I don't think, I think a win would plant a seed of doubt in the Oilers. I don't think a loss is going to plant a seed of doubt in themselves, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
They played this year. But obviously a win would go a long ways into making them, you know, just saying, yeah, we said we belonged, and we're going to show you we belong. But I think if Edmonton wins in a big fashion, that's going to do more for the Oilers than against the Canucks.
Dan, one last big question. How are you hitting it so far this year?
I've only played that one time in Arizona.
With world-class players.
Yeah, was it Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor that you were playing with?
Yeah, you can never play with Nick Kiprios and Justin Bourne ever again.
Well, Ferber was in there, too. I needed someone else to embarrass themselves at the same level as me. And I will say that Nick and I took down Adam and Ray. But I, it's a beautiful day here today, 17, 18 degrees and sunny. So depending what time availabilities are tomorrow, I'll probably try to hit balls. Usually second round, end of second round is when I start to try to play.
All right, there you go.
All right, I can't end this segment without one more hockey question here. Like, what would the Stanley Cup playoffs be in Canada without some sort of, like, drama? So where are we on Demko? And will he or won't he appear? What is the latest, Murph?
So I've heard whispers that he could be available for the end of the series if it goes 6 or 7. I'll believe that when I see it. I mean, the only times I've seen him on the ice, he's just done movement drills, basic drills. I haven't seen him take shots. I just don't know if it's realistic. Maybe if he feels healthy and they're down 3-1, you're like, okay, it's time. Let's bring this guy back. You'll ride on the white horse. I just don't think it's going to happen. I haven't been given information of that. In fact, I've heard the opposite. They could be available. I just think it's a stretch to think that he's going to be contributing to the Canucks in this series. If somehow they get by Edmonton, I wouldn't rule them out.
Looking forward to it, pal. Have a great series.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it.
That is Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet.
Was it Darren Dreger over his shoulder? Who was in the picture? Brad Fay? I couldn't quite make out.
No, that's the great Don Taylor.
Was it Don Taylor?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been on Don's show. Wonderful man.
Mentioned that the San Jose Sharks won the draft lottery.
San Jose Sharks won the draft lottery. There were no changes to the order.
Did you watch that celebration?
No.
That they had on video?
The non-celebration?
No, they try to pan.
It was nice out. I was outside.
No, they panned to like what looked like
their draft party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which
looked like it was like at the lobby of a Howard Johnson's.
And they were like,
they tried to, you could tell it was like, can you guys all get in a little closer and just push each other and high five each other? Yeah. And then they're like,
I actually don't think they should have the GMs on camera for that. Like, they're never going to give a reaction. Like, it's Kyle Davidson. You can be like, it's.
That's what you want. That's what they're hoping for.
But it's
That's
never
why
happened.
They put him on
they
there.
Know to not do that. They're planning. And Macklin Celebrini, like, he hasn't. I don't know. Like, he's going to go first, I know. But, like, do we need to, like, dangle the prize in human form? Here it is. Like, Vanna White is like, take a look at what could be yours.
Is he definitely going to play next year in San Jose?
Yeah. He's their best guy by far.
Could stay in college another year.
If I were him, I'd stay in college till San Jose figured a few things out.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
Like, why would you go and join that American Hockey League program? They have nobody coming up.
Yeah. Only financial reasons.
They are going to suck for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, this kid should just go back to them and say, hey, listen, when you guys get your act together,
start getting some guys that you think can contribute.
How many years does he have for eligibility? I don't know. But I mean,
he was a freshman. He was 17 this year.
So he played like for 4 years.
He was third in the nation in scoring. He was a 17-year-old.
He doesn't sign.
It's insane.
If he doesn't sign, he can go back in the draft.
Oh my God, Kipper, what are you doing? But he likes the Sharks. He's from there.
Yeah,
he's a Sharks guy. He's a Sharky guy.
Okay.
His dad worked for the Warriors. He's a Bay Area guy.
Yeah, go then. Go.
He'll go back to college, but he's going to sign there. You're saying that day after all the San Jose Sharks fans.
Tell them to get better. Tell them to improve. Tell them to go sign some guys. Look like an NHL team.
You just want to start that ELC as soon as you can, I suppose, right?
You wore your teal in honor.
I did. I wore my Sharks shirt.
Yeah. Blackhawks, good second. And yeah, there you go.
I mean, nice to have for Bedard to have another good player. That'll be a perk. A perk for all of us watching, too.
That team needs to sign some guys around Bedard. Yeah.
They need some
I would imagine players. They're going to be really aggressive here.
I don't blame them for trying to be like, let's try to get the next Taves and Kane and figure it out from there. I don't blame them. But if they try, Kip, if they tried this summer to add as many as they could and win as many games as possible, they're going to pick seventh next year. You know, like they're still going to finish 25th.
News with the Ottawa Senators you mentioned?
Yeah, some news. Thomas Chabot had surgery on his wrist. Apparently that's been ailing him, but he'll be available for camp next season. But interesting that it could have affected his performance. And what was the other thing?
The draft.
Oh, yeah, they're keeping their seventh overall pick. They can defer, so they lost a pick because of the Dodonov trade, who had a no trade. They can defer the pick till 2026 if they want.
Yeah.
So they are going to pick this year, which is smart.
Well, they want to tell the whole world we're not going to be picking seventh next year. We're going to be picking much, much worse, so don't give up the pick now.
Well, but also, don't you think that buys them time to say to Gary Bettman, hey, we didn't do it. I didn't own the team at the time, and a first is so punitive for a franchise that is dying for good players. Can we talk about this?
No, I don't think.
Can we maybe work on something?
There's just no way.
Maybe there's a new commission by 2026, and you can talk to.
I don't think there's any way Gary would change his mind.
That's a crazy punishment.
He might not be the commission 2 years.
A first round pick is wild. In the NHL, it's so valuable. Like a third would have been, and I'm a Sens hater through and through.
Unless the new owner, Mike Andlauer, wants to really challenge
it. He should throw a fit. That's what he should do. He didn't like it right away. I liked his stance on it right away, that this is too much.
Yeah, he brought it up in his introductory press conference.
Nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Like that's an asset that they've stripped us.
All right, two games on tap tonight.
Oh, baby.
We got the Florida Panthers. The Boston Bruins. What happens there? 1-1, guys?
Yeah, 1-1. Comprehensive victory for the Cats tonight.
They'll go to a shootout, maybe?
All right, give me a score in Vancouver tonight.
3-1 Oilers.
5-4 Vancouver.
I like that. You?
I think Vancouver needs to win tonight. If this thing's going to go as far as I think it will have to come after game one win.
I can't believe I just picked McDavid to get only two on Shelovs before the empty netter.
Balls. And what? 0-for-3 on the power play?
It seems unlikely.
Come on, say it. Say it. Enjoy your games, everybody. We're back tomorrow at our regularly scheduled program, 4 to 6 Eastern, on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.